mark of the beast, and some people have like the resurrection. They've got that all mixed up. They don't know what comes first. They don't know who goes when and who stays and all this kind of stuff. So let me just say this to you. Street language, read it as if it's a document unfolding, and it'll talk a little bit about the past, but it talks a lot about the future. But look at it as it unfolds chronologically, in other words, in order.
That's right.
It will make it a lot easier for you to understand.
Yes, and as we read through, we're not going to cover the churches or explain about them. There's just too much about angels to talk about, but we realize that the church in Ephesus was the age of the apostles, and then the church at Pergamum was when the state was a church, and that we find that in the Dark Ages. And also Thyatira was the rising up of the Catholic faith, the Vatican. Then we see during this time martyrs in the church of Smyrna. There was much martyrdom. So we see these churches going. God is using future tense here in saying these churches are going to happen down through the future. And then we see message at Sardis is for the Reformation, when Martin Luther hammered that thesis on the wall, and he said, man shall live by faith, no longer by performance, because it's in the word, man shall live by faith. Then we go to the Church of Philadelphia, and that's when the missionaries came over from England and established great revivals, and revivals took place during these missionary journeys. Today, the church at Laodicea is that church of lukewarmness, and we see that in the church of today. So now, it's gone on for hundreds of years.
Right, here. And I see here, you know, here's a, you might say, types and shadows of what's being said here. There's a type in the Old Testament, there's a shadow in the New. But here we have angels having responsibility of overseeing these churches. And what was interesting to me is the angels, they spoke to the angels, and the angels spoke to the churches.
Yes.
The angels were the overseers.
That's right. They really were. They were responsible for giving the messages to the church. And I'm sure there was an angel who was overseeing Martin Luther and helping him get his thesis done without harm coming to him before he got his message out to the people. I'm sure that angel was overseeing him.
Now, Barb, you have an unusual grasp on these unusual creatures that were mentioned in the Old Testament. Now here again in the New, we're hearing about that.
Yeah.
But in Revelation 4, talk to us about that.
Well, here we see the four living creatures. And where did we hear about that? Well, just back in our last lesson, we were talking about Ezekiel 1 and how Ezekiel describes four creatures with four different faces. Now here we see John describing four beings with six wings, exactly how Ezekiel described them. But John is saying each one had a face instead of each one having four faces the way Ezekiel spoke. But here they are again, the lion, the calf or the ox, the man, and the eagle. And John is explaining them as very important. These are probably what you were calling, when we were discussing it, archangels.
Right.
These
highest
are the angels
order
that take the orders from God and give them out to the angels. And we have levels of angels and degrees of duties that they do.
Now here, as we started this message today, we were talking about John's focus on what's being said, not so much
the
events.
That's right.
Tell me what these angels were directed to say.
Oh, praise God. Where Ezekiel was talking about their motion and what they did, here Apostle John, God bless you, John, he's saying day and night, these seraphim, these four living creatures, do not cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. He was so interested in what they were saying. And we learn a lot, Darren, about praise and worship from these angels. We're going to go on through Revelation and find out about praise and worship.
Now, you know, Satan's purpose and his game plan is to make us feel bad, get us down, make us feel inferior. And yet the angels are really given to us to lift us up as a kingdom and priests in a priesthood.
That's right.
They're given to us to edify us, to instruct us, to encourage us. And I think that you gave me that yesterday. I thought that was so super. You know, that's the game plan here. You know, the devil's game plan is to get you down, make you feel bad, mess up your self-confidence, take away your self-concept in terms of a positive way, and the angels are here to really reinforce us.
That's right. We see a strong angel in Revelation 5 is saying, who is worthy to open the book and break its seal? And John at this point is weeping profusely because he doesn't see anybody worthy to do that. And a lamb appears before the throne. And we know this is the lamb who was crucified at the cross. This is Jesus. And they begin worshiping Jesus when they realize he is the one that's going to open the seals of the final judgments. And in 9 and 10, verse 9 and 10 of Revelation 5, Darren, these angels are all singing this new song, "Worthy art thou to take the book and to break its seals, for thou wast slain and didst purchase for God with thy blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and thou hast made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." These angels knew the calling of man on the earth, and their primary and focal purpose here, right here, is to see that man fulfills his calling. Even though Satan wants to drag us down and to defeat us, the angels are there to boost us and say, "Hey, you're priests here. You're going to overcome everything."
And they're really to do two things. They're to sing and they're to speak.
That's right.
And I think, and both of those are done with the mouth, but in verse 12, we have, and I love numbers, but it says 10,000 times 10,000 of angels. Well, you multiply that out, you get your zeros all straight, you're going to end up with 100 million angels saying,
God.
Here it is, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive glory, honor, and power, and might, and blessing." And they say, "Amen, so be it." The four living creatures say
that's
that.
That's right. And what "amen" means is also, "be it done." You know, they're there to cement this and say, you know, you've said it with words now, and you're such a wordsmith, Darren. You say, before you can see a thing manifested, you have to say it. And here, right here, we see an example of the angel saying it, and God is going to carry it through here to the final result.
Oh, you know, I see supernatural energy released around the throne, and that's the way mm-hmm. God really designed it. But if you've got 100 million angels
100 million.
Saying this, "Worthy is the Lamb." "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." If they're saying that 24 hours a day around mm-hmm. the throne, mm-hmm. can you imagine the energy released?
Oh no,
the anointing.
I cannot. And
increasing.
I believe that's why, in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to change from our mortal bodies to immortal, because I don't believe I could stand it. I'd die.
And I'll tell you something,
in
folks,
my body that I have now.
We're not talking about twinkle, twinkle, little star here. We're talking about in a split second. All right. Now in Revelation 6, Bart, you have a real grasp on what these various animals represent. Let's go for that. Talk to us about the white horse.
Well, here we saw the four living creatures in Revelation 4. And again, these four living creatures are going to Jesus opens the seal, but these four living creatures carry out what these seals represent. And in Revelation 6, we're going to go through just the six seals briefly, telling which angels do what. And in the first seal opened, the first living creature says, "Come and see." He's telling John to come and see. And John sees a white horse, and this white horse is to conquer. And I believe in conquering establishes a one-world government. This is the beginning and the bringing together the fruition of a one world government. Number two seal is opened, and the second living creature says, "Come and see," to John, and the red horse appears, and peace is taken from the earth. There's no longer any peace. This means war. And number three seal, the third living creature says, "Come and see," and there's a black horse that represents the economic system crashing. And we're going to see that later on, that Babylon falls. Now, this here is just an introduction or a pre-show to what's going to take place. And then number four living creature says, "Come and see," and a pale horse brings death to one-fourth of the earth. Number five seal is opened, and the souls of the martyrs cry out for vindication to God. And he says, "Just a little while longer, and you're going to be vindicated from the blood that's been spilt." And we see here that later on, the rivers are going to run red with blood. The seas are going to run, be all turned to blood. So God is going to vindicate these precious martyrs that have been killed throughout the centuries. And number six seal is opened, and terror through supernatural signs and wonders, through natural phenomena such as thunder, lightning, hail, is going to come, earthquakes.
We call that natural disasters.
Yes. And this is just kind of an introduction, what you would call a program of what's going to happen now as it opens up.
Well, it's almost like a church bulletin, isn't
it? It is. It's
Here's
almost,
what's going to happen.
This is what's going to happen in Revelation 6.
In Revelation 7, we have four angels holding back the four winds of the earth, mighty and powerful. They take the wind from the earth, and that's very interesting. We need the wind on the earth for our seasons. We need it for our weather. And I love it when we've had a little wind and it blows the pollution out over the city.
Yes.
You get up the next morning, we've had a little wind, and then the pollution is gone. Another ascending angel cries to the four, "Do not harm the earth until we have sealed the bondservants of our God on their foreheads.
That's right. And this is the 144,000 that will go out to preach the gospel, give the Jewish nation